A Kalispell pilot survives a hard landing near the Kalispell City Airport. Good evening, I'm Madeline Beck.
And I'm Connor Ballantyne, and that's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition.
Flathead reporter Katrin Fry tells us why it's important to be screened for Alzheimer's. Capital reporter Dan Boyce takes us to a visit with some pardoned turkeys. And in our feature interview, news director Sally Mock talks with a state fish and game official about Montana's new law allowing motorists to salvage roadkill. A Kalispell man escaped injury when his experimental plane made a hard landing shortly after taking off from the Kalispell City Airport. Joe Engel says he was about 200 feet off the ground this morning when his engine quit. He tried to land on a dirt and gravel road, but ended up landing just off the roadway. The nose gear was torn off his plane and the landing gear broke. Engel said the engine quit because a spark plug popped out. The forced landing will be reported to the National Transportation Safety Board.
And in other news from around the state, a Montana judge is hitting an elusive political group with a $260,000 fine for failing to disclose campaign spending. The civil penalty levied against American Tradition Partnership demonstrates that new campaign freedoms extended to corporations don't make them immune to state disclosure laws. District Judge Jeffrey Sherlock said in an opinion today that the group has shown, quote, complete disregard, end quote, for the laws of Montana, its courts, and the, quote, tradition of free and open elections, end quote. The group did not return a call seeking comment. The case dates back to attack ads the group mailed in 2008 denouncing candidates. It did not report the spending as political activity to the State Commissioner of Political Practices. ATP has won other legal cases challenging state restrictions on some corporate political activity and created controversy with its political tactics.
A Montana State University football player was arrested and charged with misdemeanor disorderly conduct after a fight outside a bar in downtown Bozeman in which police say he punched a man who hit his girlfriend. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reports wide receiver Jonathan Paul Ellis II was arrested Saturday night along with two other MSU students, Riley James Masters and Michael Christopher Simmons. All are charged with disorderly conduct. Bozeman police responded to a fight at the Rockinar Bar at about 11:25 p.m. Officers say during the fight, Simmons tried to punch Ellis but missed, accidentally hitting Ellis's girlfriend. Ellis then punched Simmons in the nose. Officers say Masters intervened and was challenging Ellis when officers stepped in to break up the fight.
A man is hospitalized and his wife is jailed after a stabbing at a Whitefish residence. Police Chief Bill Dial says officers received a report of a man being stabbed at about 6 p.m. yesterday. Officers found 37-year-old Chad Newton on the floor with a stab wound to the chest. He underwent emergency surgery at Kalispell Regional Medical Center and was then placed in the intensive care unit. Dial says 39-year-old Ann Marie Newton was arrested and was being held in a Kalispell jail pending charges filed by the Flathead County Attorney. Initial reports indicate the stabbing began as a domestic dispute.
Managers at the Golden Sunlight Mine near Whitehall are offering employee buyouts in an effort to eliminate 13 jobs by the end of the year due to a drop in gold prices. Manager Dan Banghart tells the Montana Standard he expects all the reductions will be voluntary. The severance packages will be based on how long an employee has worked for Golden Sunlight. 9 jobs in the open pit area are being eliminated, along with 3 diesel mechanics in mobile maintenance and 1 engineer in the environmental department. Banghart says the layoffs will leave 193 employees at the mine, which is about 4 miles northeast of Whitehall. Last year at this time, gold sold for about $1,700 an ounce. Yesterday, it was selling for $1,250 an ounce.
Think of your memory as layers upon layers stacked on top of one another. Registered nurse Jennifer Crowley specializes in working with patients with Alzheimer's. Crowley says for people with Alzheimer's, new memories are the topmost layers and they roll right off and get lost. Crowley tells Flathead reporter Katrin Fry that though doctors do not have a cure for Alzheimer's, there are things that can be done, making early detection vital.
We give them this address and ask them to remember John Brown, 42 West Street, Kensington, and then we ask them what the date is, okay, and then they do a clock drawing. And they also have to tell us recent events.
Registered nurse Jennifer Crowley goes through some of the different parts of a memory screening exam.
How are you doing with medication management? Are you providing your own transportation? Are you driving yourself or having to rely on somebody else? And what these questions are posed to ask or pull out of the participant is there some of that normal, familiar type tasks that have been done every day all through that person's life that have now become more of an issue?
Crowley says the exam is testing short-term memory and looking at a person's understanding of the world around them.
This person came to this memory screening for a reason, or their loved one brought them. There may be more to the story. So it lets us further investigate, are you having trouble recalling conversations from a few days ago? Are you finding it difficult to choose the right words or finding the right words to use?
Crowley says memory screening does not diagnose. Rather, it identifies risk of a cognitive impairment or an illness like Alzheimer's. She says some of the warning signs include personality changes, new struggles with routine tasks, getting lost, and depression.
Let's just do the old gender bias and say, well, it's the wife that is like this fabulous cook and she loves to cook and she's been in the kitchen every day of her life if she can be, or, you know, even when she was doing it begrudgingly, she actually liked to cook because she was the best at it in the house. And then suddenly she stops cooking altogether, or she can't remember the recipes that she always made.
Crowley says fear often keeps people away.
I think we all have a fear of being disabled or not being able to care for ourselves or being missing from our loved ones' lives.
Crowley says early diagnosis is important, even though there isn't yet a cure for Alzheimer's. She says several medications exist to delay the onset of some symptoms, and early diagnosis is important to have those difficult conversations with family about future care wants and costs that are best to have sooner rather than later. Crowley says the earlier a growing problem is spotted, the more likely the patient will be able to make beneficial lifestyle changes.
It's nearly impossible to teach somebody with cognitive impairment anything new. They just can't form new memories, and they have trouble with any new tasks.
Exercise, healthy diet, stress reduction, generally healthy lifestyle choices are also recommended to help stave off symptoms of Alzheimer's. Also, exercising your brain, crossword puzzles, Sudoku, and yes, there is an app for brain exercises too. November is Alzheimer's Awareness Month, with goals of raising awareness of the disease, supporting caregivers, and urging early diagnosis. Crowley says right now, 5.1 million Americans are diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and that number is expected to keep growing as the population is aging. Katrin Fry reporting from the Flathead.
Owners of several grocery store chains are telling customers to consider paying by cash or checks while investigators try to secure a computer network that was hacked over the past 2 months. The breach may have impacted customers in parts of Idaho, Oregon, Montana, and Washington. The Spokesman Review reported yesterday the stores include all 12 Yolk's Fresh Markets and 21 Rose Hour stores in the Spokane area. URM Stores is a Spokane-based wholesaler that processes a large share of electronic payments made by shoppers at Yolk's, Rose Hour's, Super One Foods, Family Foods, Center Place Market, and Trading Company stores. It suggested the cash or check option while it investigates a data breach that resulted in fraudulent charges showing up on shoppers' debit and credit cards.
A man was cited for hunting without landowner permission after a canoe carrying the man, a boy, and a deer carcass got stuck in an ice jam in the headwaters of the Jefferson River. Madison County Undersheriff Roger Thompson tells the Montana Standard that the 45-year-old man called for assistance Sunday after he and a 16-year-old boy got stuck in the partially frozen waterway. Crews were able to retrieve the boat and its occupants by towing the canoe with a rope from the shoreline. No one was injured. Thompson says game wardens determined the buck white-tailed deer in the canoe had been shot on private property without the owner's permission. The man was sighted, but his name was not released.
General big game rifle season ends Sunday, and officials say West Central Montana's harvest, while not bad, is something of a mixed bag. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks spokeswoman Vivica Krauser says 12,730 hunting trips had been recorded through the Bonner, Darby, and Anaconda check stations as of last Sunday. Hunters had taken a total of 369 elk, 131 mule deer, and 419 whitetails.
We've seen a fairly good season. If you look back just a few years, we have a higher harvest than we've seen in 3 years, and a lot of that really depends on what part of the region you're talking about. The Darby Hunter Check Station has definitely been the busiest in terms of the number of hunters passing through that check station and the number of animals that they've had with them. A lot of that success is due to the elk that have been out and available in the East Fork of the Bitterroot. A lot of those elk move between the Big Hole and the East Fork, and some years they move at the right times, and some years they don't. And this year the conditions just stacked up for a lot of hunter success there.
Activity at the Bonner Check Station has been a bit slower.
We've seen a good number of people out and about trying to find a deer or an elk, but hunter success has been down from the last few years and definitely from the long-term average. Part of that's due to more restrictive hunting regulations, and part of it's just due to less than optimal conditions. We got kind of the promise of some good snow early in the season and then not much since then, so it's left pretty poor tracking conditions out there and some crunchy conditions too. So hunters are letting the animals know they're there just because of the crunchy snow on the ground.
Wildlife officials, meanwhile, continue to investigate the shooting death of a grizzly bear northeast of Ovando.
Well, it's been over 3 weeks now since we first responded to the report of a dead female grizzly bear just northeast of Ovando. She was shot, and she had 3 cubs of the year. And so, you know, unfortunately for the cubs, bad situation to lose their mother. We responded, went in, and were able to get 2 of the cubs, and they're being transferred to the Bronx Zoo. The third remains out there, and we are, most importantly right now, focused on still looking for tips that might lead to a conviction in this case.
And Krauser notes that members of the general public have sweetened the pot of reward money in order to draw in good leads.
It has. $1,000 is our standard reward amount through the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks TIPMONT program. And since then, we've been fortunate to receive some generous reward additional amounts, about $4,600 in private donations combined with another $1,000 from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So we're looking at a total reward amount up to $7,600 for a person or persons that contribute information that leads to conviction in this case.
Anyone with information on this case is urged to call 1-800-TIPMONT. Anonymity is guaranteed.
This month, Americans highlight the most traditional of Thanksgiving dishes, turkey. Just the word can conjure images of steaming drumsticks and juicy slices of white meat dripping with gravy. It's a word which can make us think of family gatherings and priceless memories. Incidentally, turkey also happens to be a species of bird. Capital reporter Dan Boyce takes us to a Helena Education Center that doesn't want kids to forget that.
Jamie O'Malley may be a bit of a turkey whisperer. She makes a sound. Her Tom turkey, named Tom, answers. He'll actually pretty much respond to any loud noise. He fluffs up his iridescent brown feathers, showing off his brilliant baby blue head, his deep red neck.
He's trying to make himself really big and beautiful for the females. The females are unimpressed at the moment.
O'Malley's other turkeys, Tilly and Tallulah, casually peck at the dirt nearby. O'Malley lives out of town with her family, and they raise turkeys as a hobby. Right now, her turkeys are waddling around the middle of Helena. O'Malley, she's the education director at Exploration Works. It's a science-based community learning center. She was sitting in a staff meeting thinking, you know, Thanksgiving's coming around. I have these beautiful turkeys. I should bring them in.
I at first thought that maybe people in Montana all have turkeys or chickens in their backyard, and this would not be interesting. But my coworkers convinced me that not everybody has turkeys in their backyard.
A steady stream of little kids and their parents come to the fenced-in garden at Exploration Works to see the birds, tossing them feed, some getting close enough to touch them before they scurry. Howard Davis brought his grandkids, Cooper and Mason.
It's a little bit of reality. People don't, they know where the grocery store is, but they don't know where the things in the store come from.
5-year-old Luke Wendt chases the birds around, bundled up in a down coat and stocking cap. He takes a liking to the birds, trying to convince his mom, Kelly, to opt for a non-traditional Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah, we're going to eat pizza for Thanksgiving, not turkeys.
He's running a campaign. I'm not so sure he's going to win, though.
But these gobblers, Jamie O'Malley from Exploration Works, says they're going to be just fine. Her family wants to use them for breeding.
So these three turkeys have been reprieved.
They've been pardoned.
They have a stay of execution, and they will be living on our happy little farm till the end of their natural life.
She cannot, however, make the same promise for their progeny. I'm Dan Boyce, reporting in Helena.
If you haven't picked up your turkey yet, and you hit a deer with your car, under a new permit system that went into effect this week, you could keep that deer for your Thanksgiving meal. As we reported yesterday, the permitting system of a new law that allows for the salvage of roadkill is now available online at State Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department website. Mike Korn is the department's assistant chief for law enforcement. In this feature interview, Korn talks with news director Sally Mock about which animals can be salvaged and how. Up to now, anyone hitting a wild animal on Montana's roadways could not keep any part of the dead animal. But that is no longer the case.
They couldn't take the animal, they couldn't take the antlers or anything. Basically, they just left it. Usually, the animal was taken off, dragged off the road, and the Department of Highways usually picks them up and discards them.
So if you hit one, you should call and let people know that you've done that? Or?
Well, at this point, no. If you say you hit one, you're probably going to contact the highway patrol because you want to do a report because you probably have damage to your vehicle and you may have insurance. So in order to make an insurance claim, you have to have a report. So at this point, what we're counting on are it's going to run one of two ways. If you're on the scene, if you hit an animal and you call the patrol comes to take an incident report and call a record to get your car, your truck back to home. The ability to, if you want to keep the animal, if it's something, there's something left of it that you want to keep, you can do that, and the patrol can issue a permit. They have the capability on their patrol vehicles. They have computers and printers, and they can do it that way. The other option is if a person observes an animal that's been hit and just left by the road, and if they want it, they can go online themselves and apply for a permit. And basically self-issue a permit online.
But they have to do this within 24 hours?
Correct. Basically what the law did was modify our possession law. And prior to this, you could not possess an animal privately, personally, unless, say, you harvested it legally under the, you know, under the auspices of a hunting license. And with this, it allowed for people who wanted to salvage the animal to be able to do it for animals that were hit by vehicles and killed on the highway.
And by animals, we're talking about four, actually, aren't we? Deer,
correct.
Elk, antelope, and moose.
Correct. Those are the only four animals that you can legally salvage under these permits. And cannot take bear. You can't take bighorn sheep. You can't take Rocky Mountain goat. You cannot take any other game animal, any other animal that basically is managed by our department.
And under this law, you don't have to be the person who hit it, right? If you come upon roadkill and you want to salvage it, you can apply for the permit and do that.
Yep, you can do that. We remind people two things, though, that are real important here. Number one, that standing on the highway and salvaging an animal can be a dangerous thing to do, and people do that at their own risk. The second thing is we do not guarantee the edibility of anything someone salvages from the highway.
Yeah, and that was my next question. I mean, obviously, if you hit a deer and you salvage it right away, it would be safe. But if you came upon someone else's roadkill, you need to be very, very careful about how safe that meat is, right?
That's exactly right. And you have to use your own discretion as to if you're going to salvage the meat. You know, the law allows you to salvage the meat and all parts of the animal. So hooves, hides, antlers, that sort of thing, they can take that. But as far as the meat's concerned, it's consumed at the person's own risk. Also, they have to dispose of anything that's not usable in a legal fashion. They can't just dump it in the woods. There's statutes against that. So they have to make sure that anything they're not using that isn't edible or usable is disposed of at a landfill or a place like that. They can't just dump it.
And they have to remove the entire animal, right? They can't gut it and leave the viscera there.
Exactly. And the reason for that, aside from just the, you know, leaving basically litter on the highway, is that by leaving the viscera there, you're also encouraging other animals that scavenge to come out of the highway and the possibility of them getting hit too.
I'm just guessing, but off the top of my head, Mr. Korn, it just doesn't seem to me like there are going to be a lot of people who take advantage of this, or what's your best guess?
Hard to say. It's really hard to say. I'm sure people will take advantage of it. It's been in effect in Idaho for about a year, and they've had about 400 permits issued over there.
Out of, no doubt, thousands of roadkills, though,
yeah,
right?
Very probably. And being able to salvage roadkill is not unique to Montana. There are a lot of people have called and say, hey, this is pretty interesting. You guys are going to eat roadkill. Well, there's about 28 other states that allow that. So we're not particularly unique in that.
Does the Fish and Game Department, do you find this is going to be helpful to you all at all in terms of having roadkill removed, or do you care one way or the other?
I don't see it as helpful. I mean, up to this point, you know, generally speaking, what's happened is if there's an animal with antlers or if there's, for instance, a bear that's hit on the road, some of our people respond to that to make sure that they aren't, the antlers and the paws and that sort of thing aren't taken, because it's legal to do that. At this point, you know, if an animal's hit and it's got antlers and someone wants them, they can apply for the permit. The Department of Transportation generally are the folks who take care of the roadkill. You know, if it's a bighorn sheep, for instance, we're going to respond to that, because that's something that's kind of above and beyond here. And making sure that it's unlawful to possess bighorn sheep horns that haven't been plugged. So, you know, something like that we're going to respond to. But generally speaking, the Department of Transportation handles taking animals off of public highways.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how many permits are applied for in Montana. One presumes there will be some, probably not thousands, though.
You know, we'll wait and see. You know, there are a lot of animals hit, but people, we've gotten a lot of calls prior to this getting the system up online, and we think the system's one that's a pretty good one for in terms of ease of use, and then also in terms of being able to kind of cross-check as to whether something's there's a problem in this, or if in fact it's an actual roadkill that someone simply wants to salvage.
And of course, none of us really want to hit an animal.
No.
There are easier ways to get your meat.
No, they're a lot easier. In fact, there's a hunting season going on as we speak. And, you know, hopefully your people are having an opportunity to not only take an animal, but get out and hike around in this basically spring-like weather that we've been having as of late. So there are other ways for people to come to this. What we do often, too, when animals are seized and confiscated, when illegal animals are confiscated, generally speaking, they go to the food bank. In fact, we donated 3 elk to the Helena Food Bank here today. I was talking to our warden sergeant in town. But, you know, they get confiscated meat from us pretty regularly. And so there are other ways in which, you know, the general public can get wild game, and also that wild game that's seized because it's illegal goes to a good cause.
Well, I have been speaking with Mike Korn of State Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Mr. Korn, thanks so much for taking time to explain this new law to us, and really appreciate your time.
You bet, Sally. Glad to talk to you.
The Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department and the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes clarified today that the roadkill salvage permits are not valid within the boundaries of the Flathead Indian Reservation.
Now for tonight's forecast. West of the Divide tonight should be partly cloudy with some haze. Expect lows 12 to 19 degrees. Tomorrow, look for partly cloudy skies, some haze, and highs in the mid-30s to lower 40s. Central Montana tonight, expect partly cloudy skies and lows in the 20s. Tomorrow should be partly cloudy with highs of 40 to 45 degrees. And in southwest Montana tonight, it calls for partly cloudy skies and lows 20 to 30 degrees. Tomorrow, expect partly cloudy skies with highs 40 to 45 degrees. And now for the editorial comments of Pat Williams.
This evening, I would like to speak about two topics. First, this recent partial reform by the U.S. Senate of its filibuster rules. Second, I want to talk a bit about the University of Montana's women's basketball team and their coach, Robin Selvig. First, filibusters in the U.S. Senate. I served Montanans for 9 terms in the U.S. House, where filibusters are not permitted. And the House was, and is, the place to get things accomplished, whereas the Senate is the graveyard for progress. I'm not sure the founders intended it that way. In the Senate, in large part due to the filibuster, the minority rule. The Senate, your Senate, has stalled, stopped, and prevented needed legislation from passing. And they have done so more often during the Obama presidency than has any Senate under any other president in all of American history. Why? Because it is the steadfast desire of most Senate Republicans to make sure that President Obama fails. That's not me talking. The Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, announced exactly that following the president's election. Let me share just one example of the Republican negativity. Surely, every president, Republican or Democrat, should be able, under most circumstances, to appoint the people who work for him within the executive branch. And yet, Senate Republicans, the minority, mind you, have stopped more of this president's appointments than have been denied under all presidents during the past 60 years. That's all presidents, from Ike through Bill Clinton. Recently, the Senate took a big step toward reform by changing its rules to allow a simple majority of 51 rather than 60 votes under the filibuster to accept the confirmation of federal judges appointed by a president. That is good news for America and for the 76 would-be judges, judicial nominees, who've been awaiting Senate confirmation for a long time. And yes, it will be good news when, eventually, perhaps within 2 years, Republicans gain the Senate majority as well. Now, how about the Lady Grizz basketball team and their coach, Robin Selvig? 800 wins since Robin became the women's coach. He is only the 8th coach in history to reach 800 victories. Certainly the women players since Selvig in 1978 are each and all to be celebrated and admired. Perhaps, as some believe, winning is everything. But what I like best about Robin Selvig, who, by the way, I don't know, is his obvious, determined dedication to the women's basketball team, to the University of Montana, and to Missoula. You know, most coaches are gypsies. Oh, sure, they become local heroes for a time. They learn the words to the fight song, and they give speeches at the city lunches. But sooner or later, and it's usually sooner, they move on. Particularly the football coaches. They're following the money. I suppose one can't blame them. And there is more coaching money in football than there is in basketball. So perhaps leaving the town you say you love is okay. But when Robin Selvig said to a crowd of 2,600 fans at Dahlberg Arena here in Missoula just a week ago, quote, "I love Missoula. I love this university. I love our fans." He wasn't just spouting what the fans came to hear. He's real. Coach Selvig, trust this. Those folks and many thousands of others love you right back. This is Pat Williams. Thanks for listening.
Pat. Pat Williams is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Madeline Beck.
And I'm Connor Valentine. Thanks for listening, and please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.